What happens when your body becomes the enemy? At 12 years old, in an abandoned hunting cabin, a girl named Roxanne experienced a traumatic assault by a boy she had trusted and several of his friends. The violation was deliberate and cruel. She returned home afterward and maintained the appearance of the good daughter her parents knew. At school, the perpetrators spread their narrative. She was labeled and blamed. She kept the truth hidden, understanding that her account would be dismissed. Those boys had treated her as worthless, and she internalized that message completely. Her story divided into two distinct chapters, before the trauma and after, before she began using weight as protection and after. The young girl who once wore overalls with complicated fastenings that made her feel secure, who wrote stories where she could be anything, disappeared. In her place emerged someone fractured and silent, carrying shame she couldn't articulate, feeling responsible for violence that had been inflicted upon her. The only saving grace was her family's frequent relocations. That summer, they moved to a new state where she could reclaim some sense of identity, though no one in this new place knew her as the girl in the woods. She remained friendless and isolated, haunted by intrusive thoughts that wouldn't cease. After the rape, food became her refuge, immediate satisfaction when she couldn't ask for what she needed. At boarding school's all-you-can-eat dining hall, she lost control, reveling in unlimited access to whatever she wanted. She was swallowing her secrets, making her body expand to create a boundary between herself and anyone who approached. When she went home for Thanksgiving, her parents were shocked. She'd gained 30 pounds in 2.5 months. They took her to a doctor, treating her body as a crisis, having no idea this was just the beginning. She wanted to be a fortress, impermeable. She believed that as her body grew larger, people wouldn't want to look at her, wouldn't want to hurt her. She would be safe. She gained 100 pounds, then another 100, then another 100, intimately aware of every pound that accumulated, yet continuing to build her fortress, layer by layer. When you're overweight, your body becomes public property, constantly scrutinized, with strangers projecting assumed narratives onto it. Like skin color, fat cannot be hidden. People readily offer obesity statistics, as if she's unaware of her body's realities in a hostile world. This commentary comes wrapped in wellness culture's guise, disguised as concern while forgetting she's a human being. The physical world itself rejects bodies like hers. Chairs with arms leave purple bruises on her thighs. Air travel represents a particular hell. With standard economy seats only 17.2 inches wide, she's forced to buy two tickets, enduring confused airline employees, entitled seatmates claiming her paid-for space, and the mortifying ordeal of requesting seatbelt extenders. In public spaces, she's simultaneously hyper-visible and invisible, shoved in crowds, stepped on, bumped against without apology, as if her fat functions as protective padding or as if she deserves punishment for daring to exist. The obesity epidemic dominates headlines, with reality TV capitalizing on fat shame, particularly The Biggest Loser, where medical professionals celebrate near-death contestants pushed to inhuman limits. Daytime commercials bombard viewers with women swooning over fat-free yogurt, equating thinness with self-worth, a powerful lie fueling a $70 billion industry. Even Oprah Winfrey, despite extraordinary success, promotes the idea that inside every overweight woman is a woman she knows she can be. This suggests our truest selves are thin women hiding in fat bodies, a disturbing concept selling self-actualization while really promoting thinness as salvation. Her public struggles, including wheeling out 67 pounds of fat on her show, demonstrate how deeply ingrained these beliefs are. The message, no success, wealth, or achievement can outweigh the perceived failure of being fat. She often feels ravenous even when not physically hungry, an overwhelming urge to eat that transcends normal appetite. On bad days, she consumes enough food for several people, becoming intensely fixated on certain foods until she sickens of them. When eating, she has no internal gauge signaling enough. She's a completist. If food remains, she must finish it. At first, it feels transcendent, each bite making the world fall away. Then fullness arrives, which she deliberately ignores until it disappears, replaced by physical sickness. Still, she eats. When nothing remains, the brief comfort vanishes, replaced by crushing guilt and self-loathing. She developed chronic heartburn from making herself throw up, damaging her esophagus and dental enamel. There's a clinical term for this, bulimia, but she existed in peculiar limbo, hiding in plain sight as a fat person with an eating disorder. Society and medical professionals often dismiss disordered eating in fat people, assuming their only problem is lack of self-control. She intimately knows what it means to hunger without being hungry, to feel an emptiness no amount of food can truly fill. Her fat body erases her gender. Strangers call her sir, their eyes stopping at her size before registering her styled hair, breasts, or feminine curves. After her assault, she deliberately wore men's clothes as armor. Femininity felt dangerous. She struggles profoundly with romance, forcing herself to reciprocate any interest because maybe this is my last chance. Her size convinces her she has no right to preferences. For years, she gave her body to anyone showing faint interest, women who cheated, one who stabbed her childhood teddy bear, others ashamed to be seen with her publicly. Sexual partners were often unnecessarily rough, as if gentleness wasn't possible with her abundant flesh. In moments of clarity, she feels intense anger at how her sexuality has been warped, drawing a direct line from the boy who violated her to every encounter since. She's measured relationships by not so bad rather than seeking fulfillment, grateful for the bare minimum rather than demanding what she deserves. Public visibility brings relentless attacks, fat shaming, cruel memes, elephant jokes. Medical care proves equally hostile. A doctor once listed morbid obesity as her primary diagnosis when treating strep throat. Facilities offer scales maxing at 350 pounds, ill-fitting blood pressure cuffs, and inaccessible examination tables. This trauma has created such profound anxiety that she avoids healthcare entirely. She often imagines other Roxanne, thin, confident, at peace, and wonders who she would have been without spending her life hungering. She knows weight loss alone won't bring comfort. Even thin, she'd still carry 30 years of baggage from living as a fat person in a cruel world. She remains haunted by flashbacks and will never forgive the boys who raped her. She's completely comfortable with that. She's learning to care less what others think, focusing instead on feeling comfortable in her body. She no longer needs the fortress she built. She needs to tear down walls for herself alone. Here is her heart, the ferocity of her hunger, finally freeing herself to be vulnerable and human.